What's up, gangsters? Welcome back to the Matt Graham Podcast. Today we have a special guest, one of my favorite guys on the planet, and what you'll discover is one of the most disciplined people you'll ever meet is Mr. Tom Carter here today. He's a nice looking young man, but beneath that nice soft looking exterior, he is a savage. He's an absolute savage. You know, he's got that nice smile. He'll talk to you real nice, but what you'll learn today is he's a killer, just like everyone else here in this building. So, Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the kind words, and I don't even know what else to say outside of that.
Well, let's end it there.
Yeah, that's fine.
End the podcast there. Well, it was nice. It was nice having you guys here today.
Yeah, pleasure.
So, Tom, I'm not real good at opening interviews. Mm-hmm. So, why don't you tell the people about yourself, what you do, and why I'm talking to you today.
Yeah. So, personally, I'm 24 years old. I originally grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, moved out here to St. Louis, Missouri. So we're actually in the building of First Form headquarters right now. That's where I work. I actually am on our Legionnaire team, get more people involved, helping them on out, whether that's with whatever that they need from a coaching standpoint, just getting involved, interviews, a little bit of everything. I feel like that's what I do. But even on top of that, I mean, we have events like Summer Smash and events all across the U.S. and even locally, I help on out with a lot of those as well. But personally, even for fitness, I do a lot of endurance. I'll just say that. I just do a lot of endurance, and I just don't stop. So,
no, you don't. You don't stop. So, we're here. Summer Smash is one day away. Are you pumped?
Dude, literally, Summer Smash, like, similar to yourself, Summer Smash in 2021, that, like, lit the fire for me for First Form. I'm like, this is the brand that, like, I want to be with. So I am beyond pumped. I know, like, there's so many people that are coming. We have around 3,000 plus or minus that are coming. So from staff to sponsor to just customers, Legionnaires, like, mm-hmm. It's going to be very exciting. I'm beyond pumped.
So, Tom, for people that don't know what First Form is, a lot of people listen to this podcast and they probably think First Form is some sort of cult. Mm-hmm. How would you, and this isn't an advertisement for First Form, none of these are an advertisement for First Form, but we're just First Form people, we love First Form, and so why don't you just explain maybe what it is and maybe what it is to you?
Yeah, so First Form, I mean, it started out as a supplement company in 2009, but I personally think of it as a high-performance lifestyle brand because we're involved in a lot of different things. Yes, sports supplements still, but also if you think about it from the outdoors to also multiple other things, from we're involved into the CrossFit Games, yes, so very unique having other avenues like that, but also team sports. And oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of everything. Energy drinks, man, I don't have one, so like, not like, haven't had one.
I know
today.
We should have had them on the table.
Yeah, should have had them, yeah. Energy, I mean, apparel, like, we're involved in a lot of different things. Like, I'm wearing one of our oversized, and so are you. You're also wearing the oversized tees.
That's right.
But that's really, I mean, who we are now. But even what First Form means to me, I mean, in my personal perspective, it represents like hope, especially for involved in the fitness or just overall well-being of like performance and wanting to actually go on up to the next level. Because like some people may hear about First Form and think of it as a cult because of the high standards or the expectations or anything like that, or the culture, because that's technically the root word of.
Yeah, I thought cult. About. I said to Emily, I said, we should make a shirt that says we put the cult in culture.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of like makes sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like with the culture here, like people have that perspective because most people don't live at a high standard, or they really don't live at a type of expectation for themselves, whether that's a disciplined lifestyle or that. I like, that's how I would really say it, as just really a disciplined lifestyle. Most people don't actually live that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people who see a group of people doing anything that is like a collective agreement on a set of values and then exercising those values, mm-hmm. and embodying those values, they view that as a cult.
Yeah.
Because what they're
like
used
a religion.
To, what they're used to is subjectivity, where everyone believes everything different, and like the only thing that we bond together on is like what we're all watching and what we're all eating and what we're all consuming, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that, like, this is the first time in human history where that has represented what community means, you know. Forever, community was literally a bunch of people who all believed the same thing, working towards the same thing and moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
And so people that don't understand that, they look at First Form and they view it as a cult for that exact reason. So how did you get into, were you into First Form first, or were you into endurance, like fitness first?
Yeah. So I was involved into fitness first. So, like backtrack time machine a little bit, all the way back to 2019, in August specifically. Like I remember the day I started officially, like my first progress photo, like for first ever fitness journey was August 22nd of 2019. I still have the photo to this day. Like something that I reflect back on all the time. Like I was around 190 pounds when I started my fitness journey. Like my highest weight was
how tall?
5'10". So okay. For perspective, like a little bit of like a chunky muffin, like that's how I'd say it. Like my highest was at 215, 210, 215. Like I, like weighing on the scale, like seeing it, like I have a picture from then, but like I didn't start actually like living a healthy lifestyle till August of 2019. And, I found First Form just through Andy, through listening to motivational speeches, through that progress of literally just working on out, like learning about it, figuring it out, literally taking the level one vanilla ice cream protein powder in the process of it. And so like literally just listen to Andy, wouldn't support him. And I literally heard him from motivational speeches because I wouldn't listen to music while I worked out. Like as crazy as it sounds, I'd literally wake on up 2:45 a.m., get to the gym by 3, be there from 3 to 6, work all day. And then I'd go be at the gym from 4 to 6 p.m., like I was fanatic of working out because I was just so desired to like lose all my fat, lose all the weight. Because like literally when I first like looked in the mirror, I was like, I'm never going to find a wife. Like that was my perspective, like when I started my fitness journey. And no, I don't have anybody now, but like I'm in a lot better shape and I'm feeling a lot better than I ever
have. You're a much better candidate now.
Yeah, that's right. A much better candidate. I mean, because after like realizing like how great it is to actually live a healthy lifestyle and lose a lot of the fat, I'm like, okay, I look a lot better and I feel a lot better in who I am. So hopefully one day somebody else will see that. Like that's my perspective, like when I started at least.
Yeah, for sure. And how did you immediately gravitate towards the endurance style of fitness, or did you start with something else and then transition to that later on?
Yeah. So, like during my fitness journey, like just during that 6 months time, like, cause I lost 60 pounds from August of 2019, all the way to March 6th of 2020. So like I lost 60 pounds during that time. And I found like James Lawrence, nicknamed the Iron Cowboy, during that time. And I was like, okay, who's this guy who's nicknamed the Iron Cowboy? Like, okay, he wears a cowboy hat, crossing a finish line of an Ironman. And I looked up what an Ironman is, and I swam growing on up through high school. Like that was my sport, but like I took it kind of seriously, but not enough to be like, oh yeah, I can do this longer term. Like I wish I did, but a whole story there. But even like finding James Lawrence, I'm like, this is something I want to pursue, because swimming, that was one of my passions of sports. So I was like, okay, I can still do swimming, but I can't. But like, I got to figure out the biking. Like I knew how to bike, just not well. And I figured out how to run, just not well, but slowly developed it. And I just was like, okay, I want to kind of like get more involved in endurance. And that's where I found it.
And how did you I just suck at endurance, and like I don't know how you can like it. So like, what do you like about it? Because I know we've talked, and I know you don't like running.
Yeah, like I strongly dislike running. And like I'm sure like we'll go into it. Like I mean, I've ran for 24 hours straight. I mean, I've done multiple Ironmans, done multiple different types of like running races, like just intentionally to prepare for stuff like that. But like I don't like running because it forces me to be patient, and I'm a very, very impatient person. So like we'll probably talk about discipline as well, but yeah. Like and how all that goes into it. But even just like getting into the aspect of doing these types of things, like humans are the only like type of like person that is about ability to endure. So like I was just wanted to really see like where I can push my limit. Like that was what my perspective was, and I was like, okay, if I can push my limit to what this is, like I start out like just doing a half marathon, just trying it out.
Just a half marathon.
Yeah, literally just a half marathon. Just trying it on out, just see what I could do. Like I was beat, I was tired. Like even like fast forward like later, like I did 75 hard, did a marathon the last day, and like I was injured when I did that marathon. I had plantar fasciitis, just absolutely wrecked, but I still did it anyway because I was like, okay, like what else can I do? And then slowly just built on up.
Were you on 75 hard when you first lost 60 pounds?
No, I was not. I literally found a trainer online. Truthfully, I thought she was super cute and like she was my trainer, but like I told her I'd do everything exactly how she said because like that's how desperate I was to like try to like find someone in that sense, but I was also like wanting to lose the weight at the same time. Mm-hmm. But like she told me everything what to do unintentionally. Most likely I underate because I didn't weigh anything out. I just ate like a lot less. Mm-hmm. And like that was how that happened. But no, I was not on 75 hard during that.
So when did you first do 75 hard?
Yeah, I did 75 hard for the first time in August of 2020. So about a year later after my fitness journey. I did in August 2020 and then finished in October, I'm pretty sure.
So how long between, because I know Andy came out with 75 hard in 2019. How long mm-hmm. between you hearing about it and you doing it, did you, like how much time was there in between?
Yeah, there was truthfully only about, like from hearing about Andy for the first time, like that was about a year to 75 hard, but hearing about 75 hard itself, like actually catching up, because I literally went back to episode one for the MFCEO project, like his original podcast, and then yep. fast forward to that, and I didn't find it until probably about middle of July. So like there was only about maybe 2-3 week turnaround of that, and I just like thought about it. I'm like, okay, this is actually kind of cool. Like I think I should do something like this. And at first, like, the as funny as it sounds, like the two workouts a day intimidated me at first because I was like, crap, bro, I gotta do an outside workout. I'm just mm-hmm. used to being in the gym, like. And so like that's where I was like, okay, I'm gonna just try this on out, because at first I was like, I'm gonna try it, and if I start it, I'm not gonna fail.
Yeah,
because I was like, if I do fail, like I'm lying to everybody else around me. Like that's my perspective of that.
I find that perspective interesting. I'm just gonna check the microphone's still working. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I find that perspective interesting that you view it as lying to other people, because for me personally, when I think about, I value, I don't know, and I'm just like thinking out loud here, but like, you, when you talk about discipline and saying what and doing what you say you're going to do, you always talk about if you don't do what you say you're going to do, then you lie to other people. What about how do you value that more than lying to yourself?
So I mean, personally, like, well, because if I'm lying to myself, I say like, hey, I'm going to do this. Truthfully, when I say I'm going to do these like crazy types of endurance things, like, dude, I'm nervous out of my freaking mind. Like genuinely, like mm-hmm. from doing an Ironman to doing multiple half Ironmans, from doing some post heart surgery, from finding out with type 1, all of these different types of things. I'm like, dude, personally, in my own head, like I'm very nervous in these types of situations. Like even some of the races I have this year, like this is actually one of the first times I've actually not been nervous. I'm more anxious of like an excitement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like for myself personally, like if I say I'm going to do something, like let's say, Matt, I tell you, hey, I'm going to run this marathon. Like, and if I don't do that, I'm lying to you, but I'm also lying to myself because I made that promise out loud to somebody.
So the question that I'm asking, I suppose, is what hurts more, lying to other people or lying to yourself?
Personally, like somebody else, like if I yeah. told you I was going to do that, because then that you now have no trust with me technically. Because the thing is, like, you can know somebody for 20 years, and if there's one thing that person lies about that was actually meaningful to you, literally that whole entire relationship could possibly be crushed.
So you view that as the same thing as like me intentionally telling you something that's not true? Because like if I say to you, I'm going to run a marathon mm-hmm. or I'm going to do 75 hard, what name your thing, right? And I guess I get your point. Like your job is to then make it true that mm-hmm. you're going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But is it is it lying by not doing it? Like, what if there are reasons why you can't do it, like legitimate reasons?
Is it still? So, like, even to that perspective, like, I think of it, okay, one, if you're going to say what you're going to do, but are you going to try everything that you got to be able to do it and not fail? Because, like, one of my good friends, she's a flight attendant. She did 75 hard, and she literally is on call sometimes for 19 hours at a time. Like, she will literally be in the air. She'll be doing these types of things. Like, she'll literally get her outdoor workout in right outside. Like, those types of things. Like, and yet she stayed fully committed to the process. And, like, I helped her on out, like, just checking on in from staying accountable.
Yeah.
Like, those types of things. Like, if somebody is intentionally trying their best to, like, hey, I'm doing this, and they fall short, I don't see that as it, because, like, they're being intentional with what they're doing. But if they're like, yeah, I've been on 75 hard, doing on day 40, 50, whatever, and, yeah, we had a wedding, and I just wanted cake.
Yeah.
You could have, for over two-thirds of the way through, give or take, like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never really heard it put in those words, like that by not doing what you say you're going to do, you're a liar basically to other mm-hmm. people, and which I believe is true. I just wanted to get more of your thoughts on it. But the way I've always personally think about it is me lying to myself. Like, mm-hmm. so I was just curious what your take was as far as lying to others versus lying to yourself, because it's kind of, I don't know, it's indicative of the way you think if you think first about the fact that you're lying to others versus lying to yourself. Like, because me personally, I think of it the other way around. Like, I think,
yeah.
Not that I'm okay with lying to others, mm-hmm. but, like, my word to myself is just, like, vastly more important, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Just a thing I was thinking about. Yeah.
Well, I mean, normally, like, we, like, just as people, like, we normally think about ourselves more than others in that mm-hmm. sense. And, like, I'm not trying to say I'm holier than thou or, like, I'm on some pedestal, but, like, normally, because I think about those types of things when, like, I tell somebody, hey, I'm going to do this. Like, I remember that exact conversation. And yes, like, I do feel bad of my own self, but that's me selfishly thinking about myself more than them. And, like, mm-hmm. that's something that I fall short of. But, like, that's why I try my best to be able to think about it that with the other person. Or, like, let's say if I tell you that, I'm like, dude, I just now told Matt I'm doing this, and yet I did not care in these types of aspects to get me to wherever that destination is.
So are you the type of person that's going to tell someone, you're going to tell someone, at least one person, of what you intend to do every single time you intend to do something?
Oh, yeah. Like,
you're that person.
Oh, yeah. I'm that kind of person. And it can just be one person, but, like, it'll be someone that I'm like, hey, literally last week of September, I'm doing a last man standing. Like, and that's the reality. Like, I am doing it in Iowa. But, like those are the kind of things I'll tell, because I'm like, okay, someone's got to know about this, because I want to make sure that person, it's going to be, though, somebody I tell who's going to hold me accountable to that standard.
Right.
But I'm not going to just tell some random Joe Schmo off the street and be like, hey, I'm doing this race this day. And this person's like, who the heck is this? Like, right. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's interesting, because there's a lot of conversation online about, you know, whether or not you should tell someone your goals or tell someone mm-hmm. what you intend to do.
Yeah.
I used to be the person that told everyone everything, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm starting this business, I'm doing this thing, I'm doing it all,
yeah.
You know, and then I wouldn't follow through on any of them. And then eventually, you know, you tell people what you're going to do, and they roll their eyes immediately. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, yeah, how many times have you said that?
Dude, I've had the same thing. Like, I growing up through high school with swimming, because I took it semi-seriously. Like, some most fun, semi-serious. And, like, mm-hmm. I told people, hey, I'm going to go here. And, like, all of those times, like, literally all of them were like, okay, sure, we'll see. Right. And see, like, even now, like, when I do say those things, I tell them intentionally to certain people, because I know those certain people can hold me accountable to those standards. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to tell some random person that I hardly know, or, like, somebody I just met, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And people are going to be like, okay, sure. Because what do they know me? They don't believe me, because they don't really know me. But, like, if I told you, hey, I'm doing this endurance event and I'm going to win this, you're probably, based on, like, whether that's my own track record and your own belief in me, it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I trust the source, even from all the stuff that is online. Mm-hmm.
So you said that you've done a 24-hour race and you're doing a last man standing race, which for those that don't know, it's basically, it is exactly how it sounds. You run until the last person, last man standing.
Yeah.
So you're doing all these crazy runs. What was the first run that you, that was like that? You know, not marathon, half marathon or anything like that. What was the first type of race that you're in, you know, the 1% of endurance athletes?
Yeah. I mean, probably like my first ever half Ironman, back in July of 2021. So, signed on up for it, did all of my own training, had no idea what I was doing. When I tell you no idea, I literally am like, I just string together something. I was like, I bike on Mondays, swim on Tuesdays, run on Wednesdays. Like, I didn't even know what like a brick session is, and just what a brick session is. It's literally two of the like triathlon disciplines at one time. So like a bike to a run or a swim to a bike. I didn't know that. Like, that's how unintelligent I was, like, going into it. Like, I did find a triathlon coach, and like, I asked, I was like, hey, like, I'd love to pay you to help me, or like any type of resources. He literally said to me, and like, I have to find the text, but he was like, you do not have enough money to pay me to train you at all. And I'm like, okay, you didn't even ask like how much I make. You didn't even ask anything about me.
Yeah.
Like, cause I told him, I was like, hey, I just want to be able to do a half Ironman. Like, not trying to go for a time. Like, I just want to see what I can do. Cause like, I just think it's really cool from seeing James. And, literally he was like, you're not going to do it. Cause I told him a little bit like my health background. Like I've had, like now currently I've had two heart surgeries. I have type 1 diabetes, like these types of things. And like, so literally he was like, yeah, you're not going to be able to do it. And like, I didn't fuel me. I was just like, wow, okay. Someone who I genuinely wanted to help, ask for help. Like the only thing he helped me out with was sending me on over triathlon books that he told me about. But then I bought those. Yes. And I read through them and learned, but still.
So you said you've had two heart surgeries. What was the deal with those?
Yeah. So I had one when I was four. I had ASD, so atrial septal defect. So everybody is born with a hole in their heart. One of my, like the heart, like mine did not form. So they actually had to surgically go in and do it. And I specifically had a type of surgery where they actually had to break my chest open, like directly, and fill it in that way. Cause there are others that they can actually like go in through the side and like the like lower side that they can actually repair it that way. But they actually had to break my chest, and I actually have a scar about 5-6 inches there, right in the middle of my chest. So looks pretty cool, but kind of crazy. And then, the other one was actually in 2022, about a month after, about 3 weeks after the 24-hour run. The doctor's assumption, they said that I had this issue during the run. I had atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter. So AFib, most people know it as that, atrial fibrillation, irregular heart rhythm, and then actually atrial that's what that atrial fibrillation is, and atrial flutter actually like helps out with the regulation rhythm of your heart rate. Yep. So like literally both of those were fully out of sync. At the same exact time, I found out about type 1 diabetes, same exact day, same exact thing there. And like, I noticed the thing with my heart with AFib, because my heart rate on my, like, I wear a Garmin, it was at 55.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very low still. Like, like on average at that time, like my heart rate would be at like 32, 34, just from training, cardiovascular activity, running, swimming for so long. And so I was like, okay, my heart rate's increased, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I reached on out to some incredible ultra runners from like Jesse Itzler, I mean, Chad Wright, I mean, yep. Reaching out to them and the people that are at the top of the game in this. And they're like, yeah, dude, that's incredible. You've done that. Like, we talked for a little bit. They're like, you should not have these effects. Like, I would go to the doctor now.
Yeah.
And so like went to the doctor and found out about atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, type 1 diabetes, like all at one time. And I'm like, cool.
Like, there so what was the surgery to correct it?
Yeah. So they actually had to go into a vein that is like more closer to the groin and actually kind of like burn this piece on my heart to literally like re-get it back into the rhythm, because it's based on like an electric thing in your body, kind of like re-shock it,
right,
to literally repair it. So literally I've had to kind of readjust to re-get my heart rate back down to that like endurance level. So like it literally reset at like mid-60s, 70s. That's what most people are at. Like now I've slowly got it back down to the 50s, but I mean that's something I've literally had to rework back on heart rate and rhythm and literally readjust on how I train literally around that.
Okay. Interesting. So do you, I don't know anything about these conditions, but is there any concern for you at this point with your heart?
Not now with my heart, no. I've been told I have zero restrictions. That's what I've been told. But they said it could be very possible for atrial fibrillation to flare back up, depending on how much I work my heart. So it could be definitely very feasible in the future having that. But
yeah, I believe we'll see. I mean, we'll see. You are one to work your heart.
Yeah, quite just a little bit.
So, yeah, you talked about the 24-hour run a couple times here, so let's kind of dive into that. What compelled Tom Carter to want to run 24 hours straight?
Yeah, so at the start of 2022, I finished up a half Ironman, finished up a full Ironman, and like literally I felt like I was at my peak. I was like, man, there is nothing that is harder than a full Ironman. I mean, 140.6 miles, yep. So 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, followed by a marathon finally, like all at one time. So I was like, okay, like, you know what? I'm going to run 100 miles. Like, I think that'll be pretty simple. Like, yeah, running 100 miles. Yeah. Very casual. Like, that was my thought process at the start of the year. I was like, I'm going to just find a race and just do it. Like, don't really care. But that, like, that didn't, like, scare me. Like, I didn't feel like that would actually be hard and difficult. So I was like, you know what? Like, I want to do something that's actually hard and difficult. Like,
yeah, because running 100 miles is so not hard and difficult.
Yeah, I mean, that's was my perspective. That's
just
a cakewalk.
Yeah. Just a walk in the park. Tom does that every week. He just, on Sundays, he runs his 100 miles.
Oh, yeah.
And, sure. Yeah, so, okay, so running 100 miles is too easy, so you decided to run 24 hours instead.
Yeah, I see, because I thought, like, that I would be a lot faster. Like, I feel like I would cover more ground. I'd hit 100 miles, because at this time, I've never ran 100 miles straight. Like, I've just done Ironmans, stuff like that, and, I mean, like, 30-hour training weeks while working full-time. So, like, that was my perspective. I was like, okay, like, 100 miles, like...
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, it'd be simple. So, that was my perspective. But then, like, even thinking about that, like, later, I thought of it in March, like, start of March. I was like, you know what? It would be crazy, like, running for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the only thing that actually gave me goosebumps. I was like, okay, that's kind of crazy. Like, I definitely can't do that. And, dude, that was in my thought for, like, 3-4 weeks straight. I was like, bro, this is insane. I don't know if I can do that. And then, like April 2nd, because I intentionally did not do it on April 1st because I knew that people would be like, oh, this is an April Fool's prank. I'm like, okay, no, like,
yeah,
April 2nd, like, I'm going to actually say this online. Like, I'm going to post this because I told the, like, similar, like I was saying earlier, like, with the thing with flying. Like, I told my direct family first because when I was at home, like, back in Cincinnati, like, those are the only people that, like, were actually genuinely close to me, because when I started my fitness journey back in 2019, I lost all my friends because I wouldn't go out with them anymore. I mm-hmm. didn't want to do that kind of stuff. But I'd still pick one up from the bars and stuff. I'd wake on up 2:33 a.m. I'd pick him on up.
Tom Carter's nicer than me.
But
way nicer than me. I'd be like this. This is exactly how it would go.
Yeah, dude, and I cannot tell you how many times I wish I could have, but like I just felt so bad. Like, okay, these people are drunk. I want to make sure I get them home. Like, that was my that was my thought as.
Especially,
like,
when you think of the worst case scenario. And mm-hmm. yeah.
That's what I would think of every time. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I can't do that. But
the only problem with that is mm-hmm. is if you become the guy that picks them up from the bars, then there's no designated driver anymore. It's just, oh, Tom will pick us up.
Yeah. So, but like, I mean, they also learn that pretty quickly, like, to stop asking. But I mean, even then, going into April, like when I like announced it on social media, like I did, of course, I mean, I had a lot of blowback from like, okay, that's not even going to be possible. Or there are some people that are just like, oh, cool. Like, whatever. Like nice. But like outside of that, like I hardly had anybody being like, okay, this is like, that's definitely possible. I probably had like two people Like Andy being one of them. Like Andy and I, we created a great relationship at 2021 Summer Smash. But
wait, I'm messed up on the timeline here. So when did you April 22? You committed to the 24-hour?
Yeah, April 2022.
So by that time, you had already gone to Summer Smash 21.
Yeah. So
which I want to get back to Summer Smash 21 when you're
sure. But even going from that, like I, like him and like one or two other people that were like actually here, like had the aspect of like you've already done these like endurance races from a half Ironman to a full Ironman, like, and you already know how to train for this type of stuff, like this is possible. And literally I officially set the date May 13th and 14th, like 12 noon to 12 noon.
Yep.
And like that was the day of my 24-hour run. Like definitely like I was beyond nervous, like growing up, like going up to it, like praying a lot, like making sure I was in my Bible, but like just so much, like there was a lot of preparation going up to it, from literally 40 mile weeks to literally 95 mile weeks, like I intentionally did to train for it. And then yes, I still worked 40-50 hours a week, but like I still made sure I prioritized.
But Tom,
all
I don't
that.
Have time to work out.
Oh, well, guess what? Nobody has time in life, so you better figure it out, because everyone has the same 24 hours in a day.
Yep.
Different priorities.
So, okay, you're about to run 24 hours. Walk me through running 24 hours. What is that? What is that up and down curve like over those 24 hours?
Yeah, so literally and figuratively. So real quick, basically on like the lap of this loop that I did. So I did it at a park called Blue Rock Park in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a 0.48 mile loop with about 70 feet of elevation gain and loss per loop. So I mean, like 70 feet doesn't sound like a lot, no, but over a half mile loop, that builds on up a lot over the course of 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so literally I just started on off. I literally went directly to the left and just kept on going for 12 hours and then finally switched around on the right. But like even going through that, like my first aspect of like going on into it, like carb load days before and then the day of, I mean, I was just, I got it. I was just anxious. I just wanted to start it, but I was so nervous because I'm like, 24 hours is pretty long. Like I can't tell you the last time I stayed up for 24 hours previous to that, like outside of like high school, middle school, playing video games all day, like
Minecraft.
Yeah, dude, that was the grind.
Right.
That's what I would grind.
You got to strip mine for eternity.
Dude, someone's got to get those diamonds. Diamonds. But like, I mean, even going on into that race and like starting it, like it's my only pin post I have on my Instagram, like only thing, because at the moment, like for myself, that is one of the biggest things that have been able to be a foundation of my faith, to see like what the Lord's been able to provide for me from a physical, mental, and emotional aspect. And even just showing anybody and everybody else what's possible. Like I expressed, like the doctors assume I had atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, and type 1 during this whole entire time of the race. I do think I had atrial flutter and atrial fibrillation during this time. I don't think I had type 1. I think the 24-hour run caused type 1 diabetes because of the stress on the body. Because I do know, like, even during, like, traumatic physical events, like, to a person, diabetes can actually happen. So it is very unique in how that's played out. But, like, even walking through and going into that, like, I was very nervous. And I was just like, let's see what's happened. Let's see what's possible. And just, I mean, I was just in constant prayer about it. Like, because if you had to sum me up, it's just faith, endurance, fitness, and type 1 diabetes. Like, those would be four things to sum me up.
So what was it like at hour 12?
Right at midnight, like, I still remember. My first time I stopped was 8.5 hours in, just because somebody arrived. They wanted to say hi to me, literally bring me a little goodie bag and everything. I was just right around 60-70 miles in at hour 12. I was like, you know what, I should switch out my shoes. I was still running, like I maintained 10-12 minute pace majority of the time. And like for the first 16 hours I maintained that 14-16 hours, give or take. And then
that's wild.
And then going on up to from about 14-16 miles to about give or take about 20-21, I was at a walking pace at about 14 to 16 minutes, and that's a pretty fast, brisk walking pace. Mm-hmm. And then the last 3 hours was just like 20 minutes. Like, yeah, I was walking, like shuffling. But even at hour 12, like, I'm still going. I'm literally my shoes. I was like, well, okay, I should actually switch out my shoes. And then my, like, swim coach from, like, high school, she actually came. She was like, you should actually go the other way. And I was like, well, all right, yeah, like, I'll try it out. And, like, I felt a lot better, and, like, I just kept on running. But, like, I mean, hour 12, I was like, holy crap, I'm only halfway through. Yeah. And, like, I'm only 12 hours in. I'm like, holy crap, like, I've done almost close to 3 marathons within this time. I'm like, it just exhausted already. I'm like, only halfway through. Like, this is gonna be a long, long day. that was my thought.
So at what point did it get the hardest?
Yeah, 2 to 3 a.m. Literally, because like 2 to 3 a.m. normally is like the darkest of the night, just in general.
Yep.
But like, somebody would always be there, whether it was like my family or like a friend or something like that. Somebody was always there. Sometimes somebody would actually do the lap with me. But 2 to 3 a.m., like, that was like the darkest.
The witching hour.
That, literally. Like, because I even did this race. I should have mentioned this earlier. I had no headphones doing this.
That's insane.
No headphones, no podcast, no audiobooks. I wasn't listening to Matt Graham.
No.
Nothing. And like, no, so I did this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even like, I should have even mentioned this. Like, I originally did this for a local charity in Cincinnati that it's called Pro Kids. Helps kids that are neglected and abused locally. Because I wanted to be able to, like, because just how crazy the world is, I feel like that there should be a sliver of hope. That was part of the reason why I did this, to be able to, for that organization, for that sliver of hope, because the craziness that's been going on the past 3.5-4 years,
yep.
Wanted to be able to give people that, to show what's possible, to even be able to show what the Lord's been able to give me, some random kid from Cincinnati who probably shouldn't be doing it. But like, that's what I wanted to just be able to genuinely show. And then even for myself, selfishly, yes, I want to see where I could push my limits. And like, and at 2 to 3 a.m. like, it literally was the darkest and like most miserable hour, like genuinely, like probably one of the ones of my whole entire life, because it was so quiet, so silent, and so dark that like, even my own thoughts, like, personally, like, I blank out a lot, and like, I was just blank. I had nothing. And like, I cannot tell you how many times I broke down in that hour, just utterly crying, because like, I couldn't, like, I don't want to experience, like, I truly don't want to ever experience that hour again, because that hour was so difficult to get through. Like, I literally, like, I prayed so many times, being like, why was 24 hours on my heart and not 100 miles? Like, that was my thought process at first. But I'm like, this is something that I said I was going to do. And I got to push through.
Oh, okay. So what did you take away from that race, aside from type 1 diabetes?
Just what's truly possible. I mean, because somebody who literally has been able to witness mediocrity his whole entire life, in his own life and everywhere else around him. Because, like, I've never had, like, literally, like, being able to see, like, really cool cars or, like, very cool, like, material items or just some, like, incredible people in general. Like, I've never had that opportunity. And, like, I felt like I was just somebody in that sense of, like, something, like, I was able to do actually something cool. Like, something that, like, other people could look on up to see what's possible. Like, that was my aspect of that. And I was like, holy crap. But even taking that away, like, I was like, okay, I can, one, actually do hard things and difficult things. But also, I'm like, dude, I'm some kid who had heart surgery when I was 4 years old, who literally was told by the doctors overhearing this that, like, I wouldn't be an athlete whatsoever. And, like, I've changed that mindset of that dark, like, I'm going to prove you wrong, to, hey, like, I want to do the right thing and prove myself right that I can actually do this. Like, that, so, like, very big mindset shift. But I didn't have that till after that 24-hour run of actually finishing it. Because, like, same outcome for that. Like, hey, I proved you wrong and I proved myself right. But, like, different mindset of that. Like, hey, this deep, dark, I would say like darker mindset of like, hey, I'm going to prove you wrong. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do it. And then you get it done. Okay. Same outcome as like, hey, I'm going to prove myself right. And I genuinely think I can do this. And this is a possibility. And I did do it. Like two of the same outcomes, way different mindset in how you think.
So when you're absolutely miserable at two or three in the morning, what's stopping you from quitting?
Genuinely, it's the people that like, hey, I told you about this. Like during that time for that, like it was the people that I told to on top of. Also, I mean, the new, like I was on the local news. So I was like, bro, if I fail, like the whole entire city is going to know.
Yeah, you got too much riding on this.
But genuinely for like the 24-hour run, like it was for like these kids. Like my aspect was, okay, I know my suffering ends in 24 hours, but I don't know genuinely don't know these kids that are local in my own community that are actually neglected, abused, don't have anything like or food or anything in these situations. Like who am I to quit and stop now? And I know my pain is technically going to end in like 10, 11 hours, but yet these kids, I don't know, maybe it could be 10, 11 hours for them, or maybe it could actually be
10, 11 years,
10, 11 years or days or weeks. I don't know. And so I was like, I will gladly endure for 24 hours straight to be able to raise money. And like, we were able to raise a little bit more than $2,500. Like that was my goal. So like, that was really cool to be able to have that opportunity.
Wow. It's wild what can come from one man's decision. Just decided to run 24 hours for no reason other than it's what you decided to do. And then all this came from it. So was that race the hardest race of your life, even to today?
Yeah, to today, 1,000.
Well, it's not even a race, really. But it is a race against yourself. But
yeah, like I sanctioned it myself. Like it wasn't under like ultra running website or anything like that. But like, yes, that was definitely the hardest race that I've done.
Yeah, the hardest, like endurance endeavor of your life.
Yeah, for sure. Like this year, I'd say like the two. I'm doing two harder ones this year. Like I'm doing one of the extreme starvation triathlon.
Starvation triathlon.
Yeah. So James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, he actually has one hosted out in Utah, and like I've been able to connect with him now personally. Like we talk and we're good friends, and like he asked me to come on out and do his. So I was like, yeah, I'll do out in Utah. Like that sounds like a lot of fun. First weekend of August, by the way, y'all. So he was like, yeah, just to let you know a little bit about the race. There's 17,000 feet of elevation gain in the race. And granted, I've never been out to Utah. I'm from Ohio, so like a lot of like light valleys, back roads, more flat. St. Louis, all flat. So I'm like, okay, I gotta figure out how to train 17,000 feet with on top of that. I want to say it was over 6,000 feet of like above sea level on top of that as well. So a lot of elevation, and that's the distance of a full Ironman. And then 7 weeks later, I have that last man standing. So two races within an 8-week period of time that are would arguably possibly be some of the hardest and longest races, but we'll see.
So which one are you more nervous for?
The last man standing. 'Cause
I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with the last man standing, like sure it could go on. Maybe there's 100 people that enter in and it could go on for 10 hours. And like because what you'll do that same exact loop over and over and over again. For this one specifically, it's on the hour every hour. It's a 4.2 mile loop every hour on the hour. So I know some are different, but that's what this one is in Iowa. But so that's what it'll be. And so I don't know, this whoever the other people are, maybe there's some really strong efficient ultra runners out there, and maybe it might go on for 2-3 days, maybe it might go on for 6 or 7 days. But like my goal is, I'm not gonna quit. Like I'll fall and collapse on the race, and if I can't complete a loop, I can't complete a loop. But I am going to give it my best and whatever I say. And like, yes, of course, I'd like to be able to win that race for sure. But like, my only my only thing in that race is that I'm not going to quit. So if I literally keep on going, if I miss a cutoff, then I miss a cutoff. But I still didn't quit. I failed, yes, but I didn't quit.
So you have an hour to do that 4.2.
That is correct.
I can imagine like getting further into that race and then completing it just in time and then having to start another.
Start over again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No chance. No chance in France for me doing those.
Yeah, you can watch me if you want.
Well, yeah, I'll watch you. That's wild. That's wild. So back to Summer Smash 21.
Mm-hmm.
You found out about First Form through Andy, just like I did. Well, in a roundabout way.
Mm-hmm.
What compelled you to go to Summer Smash?
Yeah, so like I was a Legionnaire prior before like going to Summer Smash. I became a Legionnaire in 2020.
What is a Legionnaire?
Yeah, so a Legionnaire is actually one of our like remote reps. So we actually literally directly coach, literally invest into you through education, coaching. I mean, literally direct help with a lot of different other things. So, like it's kind of like an affiliate program, like our Legionnaire program here. Yep. But we actually invest into our people with literally all of these types of things. I mean, even like you have opportunities to earn sponsored roles, be able to move on out here. Like that's what I did. Like these are the type of things in that. But I heard of Summer Smash literally going to another event that was in Florida. So your type of area, but
right next to the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. Say, but we were in Orlando. We were actually at one of our athletes' gyms. Okay. And I flew on down there and got into a car wreck couple days before, but I was like, you know what, let's go on down to Florida, like let's just have a ball. So
whereabouts?
So we went down to Orlando. I'm not sure the area like specifically in Orlando. I think it was
you don't have to know,
but anyways, long story short, so we went on out to like one of the athletes' gyms, Tony Cinnamonat. There was a bunch of Legionnaires down there, a couple people here at First Form, as well as there was just like a bunch of just people down there that just wanted to work out. I was like, dude, okay, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then there were some of the people that were here that told me about Summer Smash. Some of the Legionnaires did. I was like, I had no idea what that was.
Right.
And then like I looked it up and they also told me a little bit about it. I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Like one of the people I met down there, she was a Legionnaire at the time. Like I created a great relationship with her. She told me that she was going to be going, so I was like, cool, I'll meet you there. So I was told you have to get a ticket on that minute, so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna get a ticket, just be there a couple minutes before. And then the site loaded, I bought my ticket, and I literally saw in like the First Form story like sold out literally the next minute. I'm like, did I actually get my Summer Smash ticket?
Yeah.
Like, that was my
way
first.
Way worse now, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. It is going even faster.
26 seconds or something ridiculous.
Like, it's going faster than ever before.
Yeah.
And
how many people were in the cart waiting?
I'm not sure for 2021, but I know for 2023, last year, there was over 12,000
people.
Yeah,
that's
people.
The number that was.
That was only 2 minutes after.
Yeah.
That were in queue waiting.
That's wild.
Like, 12,000 extra people. And now, I mean, this year we have right around 3,000 people going. Like last year was around like 2,600. But like, if you think about that, I'm like, holy crap, like 12,000 more people could have been in the back parking lot of First Form. Like that's where we hosted at. Like,
yeah,
it's absolutely insane. And it's been like that since 2021 and 22 and now 23 and now 24. Like it's going to be in the back parking lot, and who knows where it's going to be after that, but like we still want to keep it where our headquarters are at so people can experience First Form
for sure. And I think that you can't really scale it too much more. It's like right at where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. In terms of like maybe you host another event throughout the year that's similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you do You make it bigger, because if you make it bigger, it's just like too much, too many people.
Like truly, like I'm not sure. Like I like there is not much space back there.
There isn't. But
as many people as there are,
it's like perfectly like intimate enough to like mm-hmm. be able to get good interactions with everyone and connect with people. And I just hope it never turns into like a giant convention type environment where there's 10,000 people here. It's like that'd be cool for First Form, but mm-hmm. you know, like you lose a lot of that quality of interaction that way.
I agree. Like, and I, the thing is, like, I don't, even if it does turn into something with that many people, like, the thing is, the interactions will probably still be very similar and the same. And the only reason why I say that is just because of how much the culture has developed. Because people will still want to be able to be people. People will, they'll still want to meet them. But, like, I don't know if it'll ever reach that much. But, yeah, like I said, who knows? Who am I to say? So,
yeah, you never know. Mm-hmm. So, what did you, what was so life changing about going to Summer Smash? What was, what, mm-hmm, what did you walk away from Summer Smash that you didn't have before?
People that actually understood me.
For real.
Because, like when I started my fitness journey, like, my, that main group of friends, like, I lost them all. They didn't want to hang out with me, but yet they'd still ask me to, hey, come pick me on up. And, like, but granted, yes, they paid me to go pick them on up. So, like, literally I got gas money, like, 3x, because they were like, yeah, here's this, but I don't care. I was like, cool. So, like, that's why I was, didn't mind it. But, like,
are you profiting off drunk people, Tom?
Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I don't mind. But, like, I finally met people that were like myself. Because, yeah, literally, like, I told people here, like, I've never in my life met somebody who actually wanted to genuinely get better outside of myself. Like, yeah, I didn't know anybody else. Like, I was in, like, I know some people say, like, no man's land. Like, I just was alone. Like, I didn't, mm-hmm, have anybody around me. So, like, when I noticed that there was actually people at Summer Smash, like, and in this whole entire culture that's like, okay, hey, I actually want the best for you and I want to help you. How can I do that? Or, like, what can I do to help you on out to get to wherever you want to go? Whether that's weight loss goal, whether that's education, like, whatever that might be. I'm like, why are you helping me? Like, yeah, what do you need? Like,
that, what's your angle?
Yeah, that was my first aspect, like, and my first thought. And, like, even now, how, because I'm like that with other people now, just, like, in general. And, like, I've always been like that. Like, how can I help? But, like, whenever somebody, like, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't need any help. Like, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was what I really took away from Summer Smash, and I was like, okay, I gotta be around these people. And,
yep,
like, I even applied and everything, like Madat, like, I'm good friends with, like, we're good friends with Madat. Like, I told him about my story, and like, I wrote into the 75 hard thing, like, all the way back then, and, like, he was like, yeah, I remember your story from 75 hard because of, like, some of the stuff that I did, like, kind of like the full marathon inside of 75 hard, being injured, yeah, and a couple other things. But like, I, like, he remembered that. He's like, dude, just apply. And so I applied to the warehouse, and there was a whole fiasco at the time because, like, I, because, like, if you're a legionnaire, like, you need to be working through the program, and I really wasn't taking it seriously then. Like, that's just the reality. And then I got a full gut check, and then I started retaking it seriously, and then was invited on out later, and actually earned a position here, was offered a role here. So, very unique.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can totally relate to that. Like, I got the same feeling when I came out to Summer Smash. Like, this is the first place where I felt like it was a community of people that understood me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's obviously, like, there are people around me that there's, like, one or two that I can, that get it, you know, that want to be better, that,
yeah,
want,
for sure,
that actually understand what, like, what it means to, like, have ambitions and want to do, mm-hmm, huge things. Everyone else is just, like, humdrum, you know, live their life.
See, that was all the people around me, though.
Yeah.
That were all,
yeah,
like,
I'm
that.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to just have, mm-hmm, a couple.
Yeah. Like, but that's how it was, like, back home for myself. And now, ever since, like, I moved on out here to St. Louis, like, what's really cool, like, my family, they're like, oh, I want to actually, like, finally get into, like, fitness. I want to try to get, like, better. Like, and I'm so grateful for that, and I love seeing that. Because, like, that's just the impact that I was able to make to my direct family. Like, mm-hmm, how unique is that? It's, yeah, really cool.
So, where are we at? We're at 53 minutes. So, I wanted to transition this into a conversation about your faith, because I know that's huge for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we can talk about Tom Carter without talking about God. So,
yeah.
Tell me about your I don't, story isn't the word, but your,
like, testimony?
Yeah, your testimony, I suppose, mm-hmm, because, you know, I think, I honestly don't know, like, the early, like, if you've always been, mm-hmm, a believer or anything like that, but just kind of walk me through it and how'd you get to where you're at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, I grew on up in a Christian household inside of a Christian church. Like, that's where I grew on up. But, like, and I came to Christ when I was four, just before my first heart surgery, because like I, and personally in my mind, I think my parents were very genuinely scared for the surgery. I mean, like I told you, like the type of surgery it was, like they had to crack open my chest, like it was like 8.5 hours long. So they were like, okay, like they were scared. Like my dad like set me on over like at his bed, like we were, me and him, we were next to each other on his bed, and like I asked Jesus into my heart. And for all y'all Christians out there, that there's not biblical asking Jesus into your heart. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So if you can find the verse, correct me, but good luck on that. But even to like the reality with that, like years later, like I just still went to church. Like I didn't feel like I actually had like I just understood, like I knew a lot. I feel like that was about it. But like I didn't feel like I came to Christ until like I was in 2018-19, that I personally say, and that like I would declare, that's when like, okay, I made my faith be established, because my faith was challenged. Super funny, like this is really crazy, like I went on my fitness journey and everything, like I lost all my weight, like I finally had abs, I had muscle definition, like I met a girl, so, and like super sweet, like nothing bad about her at all, really, like until like she, like I took her to church because I was like, hey, this is important to me to go to church, because like that around that time I was actually like, okay, I actually want to learn more about faith, like how does, like why does Jesus play such a big role in my life? And like mm-hmm. I actually started genuinely wanting to learn and know more. And at that time, and even as I was dating her at the same time, like it's really weird, like, and I don't think it's coincidence, when I started talking to her for the first time, that's when I really triggered. I was like, okay, I want to learn more about Jesus genuinely and actually be more interested in it. So like that was my thought process. And then when I took her to church, I was like, hey, because this is important to me, because I was wanting to learn more about it. And as I learned a lot more about it, I was like, took her to church. I was like, hey, I'd love to hear, like, what were your thoughts on church? And she's like, yeah, that's not for me. I'm like, okay.
It was boring.
Yeah. She was like, it wasn't, I didn't care whatsoever. Like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this stuff. Like, this is not for me at all. I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, I just want to be forward with you. Like, this is something that is very important to me, like I just don't want to date somebody who doesn't have the same beliefs as me, like that makes sense, right? And she understood, she agreed. And then she literally popped the question, she's like, you can either choose me or your faith, and left it at that. I'm like, and literally I froze looking at the message, not just as like, okay, what do I choose, but I thought of it as a shock, like, oh my gosh, like you're really asking me to choose between my faith or you. I'm like, I literally, my first thought, I was like, I'll see you at the door. Like, and yeah, I chose my faith. And in that moment, like, I was still playing video games. Like, I literally remember the exact thing. I was playing Minecraft on the computer. 100%. Like, when she texted me that. And literally in that moment, I clicked off the computer mid-game. I looked at the text and froze. And then I texted back. I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. I choose my faith. And she's like, okay. And I texted her back. I was like, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And she never responded. Never heard back from her. I hope she's doing well. But and in that moment, like I literally, because like my mom, she was like, "What's wrong?" And because like, she saw me like just instantly turn off the computer. She's like, "What's up?" And I told her. And then I just like went to my room. I cried. And then like that was then I was like, "Lord, I surrender to you." Like I asked for the Holy Spirit to come into me, because mm-hmm. I can't do this by myself anymore. And in that moment, I mean, yes, life has gotten a lot harder, but it's also gotten a lot better at the same time. Like, and like that's where I really feel like my faith grew, and I was a lot more established in it, because that was when I would say I truly believed. Yeah. Yes, I had a lot more other knowledge from church growing on up, youth group, all of that kind of stuff. And but like now, like it makes a lot more sense, because I believe in it truly, and it's a non-negotiable for me in my life now.
Interesting. So you didn't go through an edgy atheist phase at any point in your life?
No, I mean, I definitely went through a life where I was just in the world, Like, yeah. That same group of friends that I was with that, like, well, always wanted to drink. Like, I was, yes, I was that person, like, to be able to drink as well. Truthfully, I never really liked a lot of drinking just because I genuinely wanted to actually take them home. So that's probably also the reason why when I was on my fitness journey, I'd wake on up and take them home. Because, like, I would rather be the designated driver and make sure everyone got home safe. Yes, I got a payout, but that wasn't the only thing that I was wanting to have. I was like, I want to make sure these people get home safe and okay. But like, I mean, when I, like, someone else was like, Tom, you're drinking, I'm gonna drive home, I was like, say less, like, let's have some fun. And like, dude, I was dialed on up, broken the scale, like, I was a belligerent, like, yeah. I was just an idiot. That's
how I would say. Tom Carter be drinking at Summer Smash 2024?
I will have a drink on Saturday and that's it. I am not drinking outside of that.
we're gonna get Tom hammered.
No, it's good. No.
I don't even really drink, honestly.
No, I'll have one drink for our limited edition, like, Summer Smash, like, cups sometimes we have. So okay. Hopefully we have those again. So I'm just praying for that. And I, like, that's the only drink I'll have. That's probably the only drink I'll have all year, maybe.
So what do you most look forward to? I'll ask this question twice because, one, I'm curious because it's this weekend, but what do you most look forward to this weekend for Summer Smash?
Yeah, this weekend, definitely I'm really excited for all the people to come. Like, now I actually have been able to interact with a bunch more people. I've been able to have the opportunity just to be around a lot more of, like, our athletes and actually have, like, really good, strong relationships with them. I've built over, like, being a Legionnaire for, like, over, like, since I was a Legionnaire to now moving here. Like, I've been able to build really strong relationships with a lot of people. And sadly, not everybody is in St. Louis, Missouri, so I can't see them all the time. Like, man, I'd love to see you all the time, but you're out in Florida. So, I mean, obviously, I'm going to have to visit, but...
Yep.
Like, it's the most bummer part about it, like, having all the people scattered, but the best part is having everybody on one place. And like, it's just, you never know the impact that you can make on somebody. Like, I literally think about the aspect of last year. Like, I met someone named Caitlin, so sweet. Like, she's going through police academy right now, and literally, like, she made a post about me, and like, it's like, okay, like, a post, all right? Like, that's some people's thought process, but also, like, it's like, holy crap, I made a post about you. Because if you think about social media, and like, you know this, like, if someone's sharing about it, they care so much to be able to show the world, like, hey, this person.
Yeah.
And like, this person, she talked about, okay, first impressions matter. Like, that I was so calm in such a crazy environment, but yet, like, I literally smiled. I cared about her. Like, I just wanted to be able to be there for her. And that's literally all I wanted to do in that moment. Like, I didn't know she was going to make a post. And then, like, I see on Sunday morning, like, Caitlin tagged you in a post. I'm like, what is this? She's like, first impressions matter. Tom was absolutely calm. And I think of that same post, and like I teared on up from it. I'm like, this person saw who I was genuinely so much. Like, that's how much, like, I care about these people. And yet, like, that's how much I'm excited for all the people that are coming. So that's what I'm excited for this week. Mm-hmm. Just all the individuals that are coming. I mean, couples, athletes, Legionnaires, customers, like, I cannot wait. I'm excited.
I know. Starts tomorrow. It's gonna be really exciting.
A lot of caffeine with that too.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta reel in the caffeine. I've been having too much here. I generally don't drink caffeine at home, like, mm-hmm. really at all. That's been less true with the baby, but
yeah, for sure.
But
he's a cutie though.
Yeah, he's worth it. He's worth the bags under my eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gives me anxiety drinking too much caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said I was going to ask the question twice, so I asked about Summer Smash. What are you most looking forward to, like, with First Form down the road? Like, what's in your vision for Tom Carter in this building or our future buildings?
Yeah, I mean, this building, our future buildings. Like I've been thinking about that a lot recently myself. Like, do I know that this is going to be my forever career? No, I do not. But do I know, like, right now where I'm going to be at, I'm going to give everything I got? Absolutely, because mm-hmm. every single person around me deserves that, and that's an obligation for myself. Like, back in 2021 Summer Smash, like, Andy had a quote, like, I actually think about a lot. I'm trying to think of the like exactly. He was like you. Goodness, I
you can paraphrase. It's okay.
Like basically he was like, God gave you the opportunity like to be able to help you on out, like be here to reach your potential, like, and it's your obligation to be able to go out and do it.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, well, yeah, like who's not doing this? And I'm like, and then I look around at the world, especially the last 4 years. I'm like, there is a quarter of a percent, I feel like, that's doing it. And yeah, like, that's part of like my obligation to be able to, oh, it's your obligation to take what God gave you and maximize it.
Yes.
That's what he said. And I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Right. And whether it's your skills or your traits or your genetics or a day.
Yeah. Like, what's the value that you can give to somebody? And like one of the biggest values, okay, if you don't have any skill or trait or whatever, or you haven't developed anything, the best thing that you can give somebody is time. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, that's one thing that you can never get back. And if I can give that to somebody else, whether that's a conversation or whether that's, I mean, just being able to do something for somebody else, no, I'm never going to get that back. But yet I cared about that person enough to do that for them. And they deserve that. It does not matter who they are.
Do you, so piggybacking off of the question about what does the future look like for Tom Carter, mm-hmm. what are you much, we've talked about visualization and how we feel about visualization.
Yeah.
Are you like the type to have a vision board?
No, I don't have a vision board. I used to have one, but truthfully, like a lot, even it goes against a lot of the principles of the Bible. Because even if you think about it, I mean, because basically you're intentionally trying to alter reality to your own reality. And most, if you think about a vision board, what's on it? Cars, watches, houses, whatever that might be, a lot of materialistic stuff. And like, I mean, you are personally, I mean, I think, and it makes sense, and I'd have to back up scripture on that, and I have to double check that myself, as well as, I mean, you could double check it as well, like you guys listening. Literally, like, if you think about it, like you're trying to create your own reality, being your own God, visualizing and seeing, oh, I can sit inside of a Ferrari and it'll happen soon enough as long as I do this. No, that's not going to happen. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, because that's why I don't think like visualization or manifestation actually makes sense. It's like, okay, if I dream of it and think about it enough, it's going to happen. No, not at all. Like, if you work hard enough and if you're able to develop and be able to do the skills, traits, and provide enough value to be able to earn that one day and you still want that, okay, yeah, that's definitely yeah. possible. But like in the moment of just thinking and wanting and looking at it every single day, that's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I think to use Andy's terminology, I think there's a lot more value in winning the day than there is in visualizing.
1,000%.
Because you don't know what direction your life is going to go in. You know, if I told you that I'd be sitting here with Tom Carter in First Form HQ the day before Summer Smash 2024, mm-hmm. if you told me that 2 years ago or even the year before that, mm-hmm. really, then I'd be like, not a chance. How do I even get there? And really, like, I don't sit there and think about, how do I get to First Form? How do I, you know, get 400 some odd thousand followers on Instagram? How do I get this many, you know, this much money in my bank account? I just think about, how can I optimize today to put myself in the best position to get the best outcome?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's not just like a specific outcome. It's the best outcome.
Yeah.
And I have an idea in my mind of what the best outcome is. Obviously, it's a strong, healthy, happy family. A lot of money in the bank account, you know, mm-hmm. being able to go to the places I want to and meet the people that I want to meet.
For sure.
And that to me is ultimate freedom mm-hmm. in terms of like what you can do in your life. So the only real thing that you can do is optimize every single day, you know, provide mm-hmm. as much value to people in every single instance you can, whether it's a conversation like this or, you know, picking up a piece of trash on the street, doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately brick by brick how you build the life that you get on your vision board. It's not by sitting there looking at it or sitting there thinking about it or sitting there trying to rub your fingers together and manifest it into existence like you're some genie. It's not how it works. Like, the person, if I had to bet between two different people – and one of them never visualized, but they optimized every single day and they won every single day, mm-hmm. versus somebody that visualized every single thing that they wanted, but was inconsistent with how they operate. Yeah. The guy who wins every day and doesn't visualize anything is going to get everything he wants and more.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, if you're taking daily action to be able to do this, like, then you shouldn't worry. Like, even, yes, like, with a lot of my races, like, these bigger races, yeah, I'm a little worried. I'm anxious to, like, in my own head. But, like, if you ask me, I'm like, if you ask me, hey, are you ready for, like, James's Starvation, like, extreme triathlon? I'm like, yeah. Like, and then, but, like, in my internal dialogue, yeah, I'm a little nervous. But the thing is, every single day I know that I trained exactly how I was planning on doing it. Maybe, yeah, definitely there's probably a few off days in there, for sure. You're not gonna have a perfect workout every single day, mm-hmm. and most of the time I normally don't. Dude, I've done a lot of things in fitness. I don't want to work out probably 3/4 of the time, yep. and that yet I know and I understand, hey, if I can work on out, if I can do these things, if I can prioritize this, I can actually not just get to my goal to get to the race, or maybe that's actually qualifying for something else, or maybe that could be, I mean, placing, like, whatever that might be. No, I'm not that fast. No, I'm not efficient. No, I'm not effective, but, like, I know I can outlast. And that's why, like, and this last man standing race really appeals to me, because I'm like, okay, I really want to see, like, what somebody else's mindset is. Like,
yeah.
Because that's what it's going to come down to, and like, a literally a mental battle. Sure, the physical half is important, but that's what's going to come down to. Like, mentally, like, how long are you able to endure? Same exact aspect. How long are you able to win one day at a time?
Yeah, like, there's so many factors that go into an outcome, whether it's winning a race or being the last man standing or making $1 million, doing a specific thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are so many factors that go into that, so many of which are outside your control. Mm-hmm. So all you can do is train the way you need to train, do the things you need to do, and then once you get to that starting line, what's going to happen is going to happen. You're either as prepared as you can be, or you're not. You either did all the right things, or you didn't. Mm-hmm. You're either going to optimize every single training day leading up to that, or you're not.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't, if you're running a marathon, like, you can't control if somebody else is faster than you.
No.
You can't control how other people prepared. You can control how you prepared. So if you put so much emphasis and so much stock into the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, the preparation that you did and how you optimized every single day, then when it doesn't go the way you want, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah, because the only thing you were thinking about is the end date. Because if you think about the current day and you focus, okay, I just got these 5 things or whatever that might be on this current day, okay, 5 things, I can do that. But if you're focusing on the 80 things that you're doing on that final day to get to that, it's like, okay, this is so overwhelming. I don't actually want to do any of it. That's why most people fail, even on a fitness journey, because they think about, okay, in 8 weeks, I'm going to actually be able to lose 30 pounds, do this. But, like, then you're thinking of, I have to get this. I have to get this type of workout gear. I have to get this type of supplement. I have to get all this type of food. Like, okay, what can you do to actually break that down even more? Like, okay, what food do I have to eat today? How much water do I need to drink today? Like, smaller things, literally on a daily scale, because that's how you can actually break everything down very simply. And it's like, okay, I won today. I can actually do the same thing tomorrow. Okay, do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone thinks about, like, on day one being, you know, I can't do this for 3 months. I can't do this for 6 months. I can't do this for 9 months. It's like, you only got to do it today.
Yeah.
You really only have to do it today. Mm-hmm. And you just wake up tomorrow and you do it again today.
Yeah.
Then you wake up the next day and it's today again. You just got to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do it for one day, you can do it for 1,000 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, people put so much focus on, like, that. I don't even know how to properly articulate it, but, like, on the timeline, they put so much, they put a lot of emphasis on the distance between where they're at and the top of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
instead of just, like, the distance they have to cover in the day.
Yeah. Like, even the Bible talks about, like, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be, like, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Like, don't mm-hmm. be anxious for tomorrow, from Proverbs to Matthew. I mean, Jesus is speaking these types of things. I mean, Solomon talks about these types of things. But, like, and even if you think about it, it's like, okay, why are they emphasizing don't worry about tomorrow, but, like, really focus on now, the present. Like, what do you have now? Like, can't change the past. Yeah. You can't do anything about the future because it hasn't even happened yet. Like, okay, you got right now at least. What can you do today?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, people will hijack that and adopt this like YOLO mindset where, you know, live for today, do whatever you want, you know, but like, it's really the correct way to think about it is you're here today, do the best that you possibly can today. Yeah. You don't know what tomorrow looks like. You don't know what anything looks like in the future. You don't have a crystal ball. You can't time travel. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is just look at what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
We're doing this podcast right now. We try to have the best conversation that we can possibly have. Mm-hmm. What am I doing after this? I'm going home, being the best dad that I can be.
Yeah.
Then right after that, I'm going to sleep the best that I possibly can sleep. Mm-hmm. And I wake up tomorrow and I'll do something else the best that I can possibly do that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you might get pulled aside to do something that you didn't expect to do that day. But you know what? You're going to do that the best that you can possibly do it. And like, that's the true way to get the outcome that you want, is to think that way. Mm-hmm. If you just think about the outcome, the distance between where you are and where you want to be is going to stress you out so much that you're going to quit.
Yeah, you'll break down.
Right. Imagine if you were thinking about the fact that you, I mean, I don't know what was in your mind when you were running those 24 hours, but it's so easy to think about the finish line. It's so easy to think about hour 24 when really the most productive thing for you to do is to think about the next step.
Yeah. Like, I had to actually break it down that small. Like, I was at first, like when I first started, I was like, I'm just going to run. I'm actually not even going to look at my watch. Like, when I first looked at my watch, it was like 6.5 hours in. Like, all I would hear is the buzz, and I just, like, from per mile, I just didn't even worry about it. And, like, I looked at 6.5 hours in, I was like, oh, wow, I'm almost at 50 miles already. Cool. It's the first time I've ever hit 50 miles on my Garmin. And then, like, I just kept on going. Like, and then I paused it when the one, I paused it right when that one guy came on up because he wanted to say hi. He was there for a couple minutes. And I just kept on going. And then, like, after 2 to 3 a.m., like, and seeing 12, then 2 to 3 a.m., I was like, oh my gosh, I got 12 more hours. I got, like 8 more hours, 10 more hours. And, like, I literally had to break it down to literally, like, hour increments. I'm like, okay. 2-3 is done. Thank goodness. Literally, thank goodness. Like, all right, next hour. And then I was like, okay, this is too much. Like, I can't even go on for this hour. And then I had to break it down like to 15-minute increments. I'm like, okay, I got 15 minutes. I can do that. And then I had to break it down literally per loop. And a loop would take me maybe like 6, 8, 9 minutes, just depending on like how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was like, okay, like, I literally have to focus on the next step, like, especially on, like, the hills. Like, because, I mean, there's 70 feet of elevation. Like, my left hip flexor, like it was throbbing so much. Like, my legs were so swollen, you couldn't see the muscle definition. Like, that's all swollen my body was. And, like, I was literally picking on up my left leg, carrying it up the hill, it felt like. Literally one step at a time, because that's how much I had to just break it down to. But, because that's what, if I can take another step, like, okay, hopefully I can take another, and hopefully another. Like, that was my aspect until I got around the loop, and I'm like, all right, another loop, another step. Yep. Like, that's how I had to break it down to, because it had to be so simple. Because if, like, we know things that are simple and plain, okay, cool, we can see that visually, right?
Yep.
Like, okay, let's do something that's simple and plain. Okay, a single step. Even a toddler knows what a step is, because what do? Oh, take a step. Take a step. You encourage them to do that when they stand. So, same exact thing. It's plain and simple. Take another step.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how you should really approach any endeavor that you're doing. You know, like, even just life, you know, like we talked about. Like, a day is a step.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy to get caught up in where your finish line is. But if you just focus on the day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, you know, eventually you've taken all those steps that you were stressed about taking, and all that time has passed that you were worried about passing, and you've covered all that distance that you were worried about covering, and all you were focused on the entire time was the thing that was in front of you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it passes the time and passes the journey like nothing else. Mm-hmm. So, where are we at? Hour 18. Tom, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about?
I don't personally know. I feel like you're bringing something on me, but no, I don't have anything.
No, I'm not.
Else.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm
not, I thought not, you were like getting ready to go for something, but no, I don't have anything like I personally had like. Oh, actually, like with like the type 1 stuff, like that's something that's big for me, just because like I think I onsetted that from the 24-hour run, but like. It's really unique, and like I already know anybody who's a diabetic is listening to this is probably going to be very confused. Yeah. I haven't taken insulin in the past 15 weeks. And imagine this. This is due to living a healthy lifestyle, being intentional with at least one training session a day, and that training session could be an hour and a half walk to a 30-minute bike ride, maybe a lifting session, like something like that. As crazy as that sounds, I'm doing that, and then hitting – like 8,000-10,000 steps during the challenge that we did. I did 18, but that's a different story. Literally just living that, and I haven't taken insulin in a very long time because I haven't needed to, because I've controlled my blood sugar of just being intentional on living a healthy lifestyle. So all, and like I personally educate this on my platform. I do a lot of this through my own social media, like because I just want to teach y'all how to be able to do this efficiently and effectively, similar like myself.
Yeah. And by the way, Tom is being monitored by doctors and nutritionists and all those things that specialize in diabetes nutrition. So before all the people saying that he's just like some some pseudo scientist just making up his own thing, like, you know, he's being monitored. But yeah, it's interesting because like my childhood best friend has type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting seeing, you know, the contrast. And I feel bad saying that because he's probably watching this, but you know, just like the difference that a healthy lifestyle can do for you. And granted, a lot of the complications that he's dealing with now are the result of decisions made 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just he wished he chose differently, you know. Yeah. And in the last few years he's done a lot better, but you know, like he's losing his eyesight, you know, in really both eyes, but one eye is particularly worse than the other. And it's called, what is it, diabetic retinopathy.
Yeah.
Where just eyes are degenerating and he gets injections every single month. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks. It sucks to watch. And there's a lot of people like that, not just type 1 diabetics, but people who have health problems that, you know, there's the way that the medical system tells you to solve it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that seem to be outliers, that seem to be, you know, just based on the lifestyle that they live, you know, yes, it's difficult to live that lifestyle, but they're not dealing with any of the problems that the people that are abiding by the tried and true way of doing things, you know, that comes with its own set of problems.
Yeah. Like I almost lost my eyesight. Like I, at least I feel like I did. My eyes were so sugared over. Like, I mean, you would be fuzzy, but like if you probably scoot back like another 2 more feet, like I wouldn't be able to like really see you. Like after the 24-hour run, like when I went to the doctor, found out about that, like my blood sugar was at 792. And normally, your blood sugar should be to be between 70 and 120. So like I should have been into a coma. Like the doctors that were there, they're like, I don't understand how you're actually awake right now. Like you should actually be probably passed out or in a coma because of how high your blood sugar is. Like their assumption was because of how like healthy and fit I was. And I mean, that makes sense. But like even just on like diabetes in general, like type 2, yes, you can reverse. Sure, you can be a little bit more insulin like sensitivity, like a lot more insulin resistant, like still having to take some. But if like you're prioritizing living a healthy lifestyle, and I'm not saying you can't snack, you can't have ice cream, you can't do this type of stuff. Of course, that's going to spike
Cinnamon Toast
your,
Crunch.
Yeah, I mean, the best cereal ever, by the way. But I mean, like, I'm not saying you can't have these things, but have them in literally the exact serving that it literally says on the jar or on the box or whatever. Because like, if you
can't have a full box,
hey, that's Fat Tom. That's what I would do. Like before I lost the 60 pounds,
you almost were type 2 diabetic.
Yeah, I probably could have been. Like if I would have kept on staying on that.
Yeah.
But like that's the thing on so many people, like they're gonna overeat because if I'm pouring a bowl of cereal, I'm not weighing out 44 grams of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm eating a bowl, so I'm making sure that thing's filled up.
Yeah,
and like that's probably 3 servings right there, and like
more than that.
Yeah, like 500, 600
like my
calories.
My kind of bowl, we're talking like 4 or 5 servings of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's the best. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but see, like I literally educate and I tell people about literally macros, tracking your food. Yes, we do teach that here at First Form, granted. Like, and I'm not saying that this is a thing for First Form, but this is something that has helped me literally change my whole entire lifestyle to be able to prioritize my insulin. And even when I'm bulking, like right now I'm eating only like 2,500 calories, give or take. Like literally when I'm bulking or when I'm in full Ironman season, I'm about to start that on up, I'll literally be at like 3,500 to almost 4,200 calories. And most of that is carbohydrates, like literally the type of food to break down into sugars in your body to literally, like, you need insulin for your pancreas to actually work for your body to, like, adjust that. And, like, even then, yes, I will be burning enough to be able to, like, combat that. Yes, that's the reality. But also, I mean, if you're prioritizing, I mean, eating a high-protein diet primarily and focusing on watching your gut health and living a healthy lifestyle, like, you won't have to take as much insulin in those scenarios. Like, I've helped multiple type 1 diabetics, local to here, on social, like, literally take at least half as much of their insulin, if not, like, cut out one or two of their insulin shots a day, and even one of them, similar like myself, not having to worry about insulin only in dire need scenarios from eating a full box of cereal or a whole gallon of ice cream or something like that, like the good stuff. So, I mean, in those scenarios, like, a lot of people just don't care. And, like, dude, this is your health longer term. I don't know if any of these people have kids that are listening or grandkids or, I mean, even their spouse. Like, your spouse and your kids obviously want to see you be able to live longer. So you don't always have to do it for yourself.
Yeah. No, 100%. Tom, how do I raise my son to be Tom Carter?
Oh, I don't know if you want your son to be Tom. I am one single person that I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, body, and soul, and I do endurance. There's nothing special about me, truly, except that I'm made in the image of God, the same as you. So, I mean, that doesn't make me too special because we all are, but yeah.
Tom is one of those people there's a few people that I know personally that are not, like, there's a lot of genetic freaks around here. Like, there's a lot of,
I agree.
There's a lot of freakish athletes, people that are just gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you are one of those people that is not gifted, but you've willpowered your way to a level of, like, not only physical ability but also mental ability and like discipline and endurance and fortitude that rivals almost anybody in this building. And it's just wild because you're not, like, when you, it's so funny because, like, especially Summer Smash, when the athletes are around and everything, mm-hmm. like, you look at them and you're like, they must be the most savage people on planet Earth. And it's like, no, this most savage people on planet Earth are like Tom. Like, they're the people that weren't gifted with much, but they made a whole lot out of it. They took what God gave them and optimized it and maximized it. Like, that is the highest level of savagery, whether you were gifted with Greek god-like genetics or you're not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, even with just individuals in general, like, I mean, having the opportunity, I mean, meeting James Lawrence, and I mean, now, like, we're friends, like, as crazy as that is, I mean, meeting individuals like Tim Grover, I mean, people that are at the highest level in their field, like, and see, even when, like, you look at these people, like, okay, they have been able to do some pretty cool things, some of them genetic, some of them not, okay, awesome. But guess what? They still put their pants on one leg at a time, like you, like mm-hmm. me. Like, there's nothing different about us except we wanted, like, the only thing I would say that's different, and, like, the thing is, anybody and everybody can actually do this. Like, be actually desired to go after one thing, or maybe that's one or two things, and just whatever you can, be intentional with that.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of talk about equality, right? Like, that we're all equal. It's like, we're all equal in the sense that we're created equal, but mm-hmm. we don't remain equal.
No, like, there's no equal result. I mean, no. Same exact thing with, like, the visualization, manifestation to the person who works. Like, yeah. There's no, like, sure, equal thoughts, sure, but not an equal outcome.
Yeah.
Like, they're different.
Right. No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I forget what I was going that with the, with that thought. My mind just blanked, but yeah. Good talk, Tom Carter.
Yeah, great conversation, Matt yeah. Grant.
Where do people find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm primarily really just on Instagram, just Thomas L. Carter with two R's on the end of Carter. So
we got to get you a good – we got to get you like at Tom Carter on Instagram or – we got to figure something out.
Bro, I messaged them. You did? Yeah, they never reached back out. I even offered. I was like, hey, I'll see if I can pay you for it or something like that. No response.
We got to get you even like – we're going to get you a good name.
Yeah.
Because that's hard. That's hard to – it's not hard to say, but it's like, you know, it's just one of those ones you got to think about. It doesn't hit as easy as Tom Carter on Instagram.
Yeah, Thomas or, L. Carter.
Well, if we get you at Tom, that'd be sick.
That would be pretty sick. Just three letters? Oh, that'd be so sick.
That's memorable.
Oh,
what are you on Instagram? Tom.
Yeah.
Let's look up Tom.
Hey, either way, I mean, whatever works. So that was whatever was available, Thomas L. Carter, because it used to be like just Tom Carter with like numbers. But I was like, then, okay, I was like, I want to just have Tom Carter and then Tom Dot Carter. And then Thomas L. Carter. And then I found Thomas L. Carter with two R's on the end of Carter.
Yeah, the two R's is throwing me off.
Throws me off too.
So. Yeah, we gotta fix that. So it may have changed by the time you're watching this. If you're watching this sometime in the future, we're gonna get him a nice, memorable, easy to type out Instagram handle. So it'll be linked in the description. But yeah, Tom, is there anything else?
No, I don't have anything else, man. I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you.
People got to know about Tom Carter. I talk about Tom Carter all the time on my stories.
Yeah.
And you know, people got to find out. They got to know Tom.
Yeah, who this random chump is. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. All right. Well, that was an hour and a half of Tom Carter. There will be more Tom Carter in the future. He's going to come down to Florida.
That's right.
And we're going to do a podcast in the studio.
That's right.
Yep. Hopefully by then it'll be a real studio.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal when I get back, is to get us actual space to do the podcast in.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Because I don't want to have people over to my house. Mm-hmm. Except for you. You check out. But
no, I appreciate
other
it.
Guests that I would have, not exactly want them knowing where I live, just in case, you know, things happen.
Yeah, that's so, all right. That's all good.
Anyway. Appreciate you guys listening. Shout out to Tom Carter. Go follow Tom. Let's get him to 10,000. We just got him to 5,000.
I don't do anything for followers, bro.
Tom,
I just
needs
myself.
That 10K.
Oh, goodness.
That's fine. If you won't get yourself followers, I'll get them for you. Go follow Tom Carter. This has been the Matt Graham and Tom Carter podcast. We have to say what's up, gangsters, at the same time. So
all right, so we're going to hit, and then what's up, gangsters?
Oh, right. You got to hit it.
Just what's up, gangsters?
If you follow Tom Carter, which you should by now, you know what that means.
That's right.
We got to get you a what's up, gangster shirt.
Dude, that'd be pretty sick. I've been doing it for like 2.5 years.
Can I tell you a secret? I'm going to tell you a secret exclusively on the podcast.
Okay.
I made a what's up, gangster shirt.
No, you did
I
not.
I did. I have the design on my computer.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was gonna.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious!
Last time I came out in January, I think I was gonna have it made, but I couldn't get it in time.
Oh my god!
So I completely forgot about making the shirt.
Dude, that is hilarious. I will wear that thing everywhere.
I'll show you the design. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
All right,
yeah.
We're gonna cut this off, and then I'm gonna show Tom the design.
All right.